Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. It is Julie Harris with Tim and Julie Harris Real Estate Coaching Essentials and Scripts and Prospecting and Mindset and all kinds of great stuff for you. And our program here is designed specifically to move you forward in a very organized way so that each step that you take makes more and more sense and you get away from feeling overwhelmed in real estate. It's so easy to do. Everybody's emailing you stuff that they want you to sign up for all the time, and you know, your office manager and your broker and probably your spouse or significant other and all kinds of people are pulling you many, many different directions. So we do understand what that's like, and that's why you are involved with coaching, because the whole point is to shorten your learning curve and make it so that you are earning more money faster with less pain to you, okay? Less drama, less wondering what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what comes next, what you should invest in, what you shouldn't invest in. So we're going to take a second today to do one of the, it's basic, yes, but to do it right is not basic. And that is, backed by popular request, many of you have said, whether you like doing it or whether you're doing it because you don't have a big marketing budget, or maybe you're smart and you recognize that open houses are something that your sellers expect you to do, so it's kind of hard to escape that. Open houses are inexpensive to do, and when done correctly, 9 out of 10 of you guys know this, you just forget it or you like to ignore this fact. When you do it correctly, it can make you tons of money. More efficiently, by the way, than lots of marketing and learning your, we want you to be good marketers on some level, because that's part of what's required of you, especially as a listing agent. However, open houses are, you know, there's some marketing to that too, but they're not that expensive. They're more direct. They happen quickly. It costs you virtually nothing to do. And for most of you guys, your goal here is to make more money in less time, yes, but to do it very much more consistently. Most of you guys know how to make money, but you don't know how to do it month in and month out like clockwork. So use open houses. That's kind of the mortar between the bricks, the bigger bricks that we're teaching you. But if you can't do a successful open house that nets you at least, and here's your new standards and criteria, every open house you do, you need to be walking away with at least, minimum standard, one closable buyer and at least one really great listing lead, minimum. And doing it right, you're going to end up with a lot more than that. So what we tell all of our advanced and breakthrough clients is you need to be doing open houses until you have two AAA buyers at all times, no matter what, in your real estate career. I don't care how grizzled of a veteran you are. If you can't do a successful open house that nets you two closable, slam dunk, buy now buyers, you are doing something wrong, and we need to correct it now before we move forward with anything else. Now, some of you guys on this call are saying, well, my buyer agents do my open houses for me. Okay, what are they walking away with? Are you holding them accountable? Because your sellers are. They want to know what's going on. Okay, so we're going to talk in depth about why we should love open houses, how to do them correctly and profitably, so that you can embed this into your business plan as a very basic but necessary building block. So let's talk about what sellers expect of you. Let's talk about your own listings, your own sellers first. You should always do opens for your own clients first. If you don't have listings, or the listings you have don't want you to do opens for some reason, you need to borrow it from your broker, your best friend. You don't even have to be in the same company. You just need to find a really good open house. We'll talk about what makes for a good open house. So why do sellers insist that you do open houses? Well, first of all, it's one of the things that they see, and HGTV has made this harder on you guys because they make it look like every house sells from an open house and every buyer buys every open house they go to. We should all have open house parties and that's all fine and fantastic. Okay, so HGTV is bigger than all of us, which means that you should join them instead of fight them. And a lot of our students are HGTV and Bravo stars, by the way. So instead of being contentious with the seller, okay, instead of arguing with them and telling them 101 reasons why you don't do open houses, give up on that. You're going to lose, okay? They want to see you doing something. When you talk about prospecting, they think of you standing out in the river with a pail like an old-fashioned prospector. They don't have any idea what that means, so stop that. So instead of fighting it, decide you're going to monetize what your sellers demand of you and realize that they're asking that because they don't know what else you do all day long, which is probably a bigger problem, but let's leave that for now. So in your notes, you're going to write down top five reasons to love open houses, and this is going to be posted on the website so you can download and print it off, memorize it, internalize it, and monetize it. So top five reasons to love open houses. And yes, we practice what we preach. Tim and I made hundreds of thousands of dollars from real estate open houses. I never teach you anything that we don't haven't done ourselves, that we don't know or are finding our way or trying out on you. We don't believe in that. We only teach you stuff that absolutely works, and we teach you how to absolutely work it. So top five reasons to love open houses. Number one, yes, serious buyers do go to open houses. Okay? Yes, absolutely. Serious buyers do go to open houses. They're not wasting their afternoon on going to houses if they don't at least have the beginnings of that thought. Many of them have already looked at everything else and are doing open houses so that they don't have to worry about their agent scheduling them. Okay? So think about that. Number two, it's a great place to meet nosy neighbors. They're checking out the house to help price their home and get staging ideas. Why do neighbors show up? Because they're thinking about listing their house. Usually they're in the beginning stages, which is good for you because it's time to set an appointment before everyone else does. Number three, it's a great way to build your future business through meeting people who will buy and sell in the future. But Julie, I have so many buyers as it is. It's so hard to work with all these buyers. Okay, partner with somebody, get a buyer's agent, prioritize, learn to time management, etc. It's a nice problem to have those many buyers. If you're not finding inventory to sell them, you need to refer to the section in our coaching about how to find inventory where you think that there isn't any. And then, of course, buyer's agents, we talked about that. And remember, those of you who like to bash buyers, that's not a great thought because it takes buyers to sell your listings, first of all, so that makes you sound crazy when you say things like you hate buyers because without them, your listings would never sell. That's basic. But beyond that, those of you who are really great at working buyers recognize that those are just your future listings. That's all. You got to sell it to them before you can list it later on in your career. So let's get our heads screwed on straight about this. All right, so next, number four, it makes the seller of the home you're holding open love you. That's all good, especially when it's your own client. Number five, open houses force you to be in front of people. The more people you meet, the more houses you'll sell. It's a simple numbers game. Okay, make sense? Simple numbers game. Real estate is a contact sport. You must be in front of people to make money. Open houses force you to be in front of people. And I'll tell you, you know, years sometimes after some of my open houses, I would ask somebody, how did you come across us? Oh, I met you 2 years ago in an open house. I wasn't quite ready yet, but now I am. And you were the only one who was nice to me at an open house. Used to hear that all the time. That's not to say that every open house produces people who won't buy for 2 years. So those of you who have your little critical hats on, oh, I don't like open houses. I'm looking for reasons to hate them. Cut that out. I'm teaching you how to make money from open houses. Now, for those of you who are still skeptical, let's do a little bit of open house math. Number one, hold open houses every weekend as a rule until you have at least 2 to 3, depending on what your buyer load already is, but at least 2 to 3 AAA buyers at all times. More experienced and more organized buyer's agents should follow this rule, but replace the number with 3 to 5, maybe even 7 buyers, the more organized you are. If you can't get that many from your normal lead follow-up, then you got to do open houses. It's very, very, very basic. You know, one of the reasons everybody does them when they get their license is not because it's the only thing you know how to do, it's because it actually works. So anybody that is still skeptical, we're doing a little open house math here. Number two, when you work with at least 3 AAA buyers at all times, 2 will close minimum for you every single month. So replace those 2 as soon as possible so you'll always have 3. Okay? So 2 deals per month minimum times your average commission equals how much? Well, let's say your average commission is on the low side of $2,500 to you net times 2, $5,000 a month. Most people can pay their basic bills on $5,000 a month or $60,000 a year, especially for those of you who are dedicated buyer's agents on a team. Certainly you guys can handle that because your expenses are low. But all of you who are, quote, normal agents, and certainly my grizzled veterans, you guys can stand to add $60,000 to your basic income doing basic stuff, not doing open houses at a high level. And you don't necessarily have to do them every single weekend, but saying that you don't do them is like walking away from $60,000 a year doing basic inexpensive stuff. That's why this is one of the first lead generators we're teaching you before we get into the more complicated, more skill-requiring stuff. If you can't hold a basic open house open, you have no business talking to expireds. That's the facts, okay? So get straight on this. Again, if all you do is two transactions per month by doing 2 to 3 open houses per month, and for some of you, doing it right, you might only have to do one open to get what it takes, that's $60,000 a month. That's based on a $2,500 commission. Those of you who are in more expensive markets and your average commission is $5,000, you do two, you do the math, that's $120,000 off of just one simple lead generation thing that every single one of you guys know how to do or will shortly know how to do correctly. All right, number four. If you're already doing better than this, then add open houses and the 3 AAA buyer rule onto your business as an additional spoke. Okay? So if you're already doing okay with buyers but you don't do open houses, add open houses on and you might be doubling your income. It just makes sense. Okay? So that's top 5 reasons to love open houses and 4 reasons that are under the category of open house math. Okay? Say you're super busy. You already have 10, 20, 30 listings. You don't really have time to do open houses, do you? Commit to doing one per month so you can add $30,000 to your income. That pays for an assistant for you. Interesting doing this math, isn't it? By the way, we're going to do what we call lead generation math on every lead generator we teach you. So get used to doing it this way. So for example, let's say that you're pursuing expireds, and let's say that you're not great at it. It takes you 40 expired calls to take one listing, but you can do 40 calls every week easily, most of you. So what if you went on 4 listing appointments, you're getting your listing presentation together, and you only take one and sell one per month? 12 more listings this year okay with you? And that's if you're only okay at doing it, and we'll make you really great at doing it? Interesting. My best expired hunters, by the way, will take one listing out of every 10 calls, some of them one out of every 5. So the ratios get better the more skilled you become. Just makes sense. Now, open house prospecting. Let's talk about this. We have 9 particular rules. So our goal here is for you not to just screw around with open houses, but to absolutely, positively monetize the open houses. So let's get our thinking caps on, our typing fingers, our note-taking fingers, and commit to this. Not to just say, oh, that was a great coaching call, glad I went to that. No, I want you making money with this. You're going to take action as follows. Open house prospecting, number 1. You must use a minimum of 10 directional signs. Ask permission to place the signs. Now, what are directional signs? They're the cheap corrugated plastic arrow signs that say open house. Most of them are on little stakes. You guys know what I'm talking about. Now, prospecting. We're trying to make more money with our open houses. So instead of just throwing a sign out on whatever corner makes sense and hoping that it doesn't get stolen or blown over, you're going to actually door knock that person and ask permission. Introduce yourself. Give them your card. Say, gosh, it would be fantastic if you would allow me to use the corner of your yard just for the next few hours so I can get some great open house traffic over at your neighbor's house. I'm having that open house over on Elm Street, one street away from you. And I also wanted to invite you and anyone else you know who would be interested in seeing my open house. By the way, who do you know who would love to live in this neighborhood? By the way, are you considering making a move sometime in the next few months? Gosh, if you would think of me, that would be great. Here's my card. Oh, thank you so much for letting me put the sign in your yard. I will have it gone by 6 p.m. or whatever your commitment is. Okay? That's better than just pissing that seller off and not asking permission, and then there goes your sign and you didn't even know it, and this is why you don't get anybody showing up at your open house. Sound familiar to some of you? So cut that out. 10 directional signs asking permission on each and every one. Except for the ones, obviously, that don't have a house attached to them. If you're putting it in the berm or you're putting it in a little commercial zone or something like that, obviously you don't have to ask permission for that. But you should know your sign rules in your area, okay? Number 2, choose the right house to hold open. First-time buyer houses in respectable neighborhoods with good schools. But everything where I live is gated. No, it isn't. Find something that's not gated, okay? Get out of your own bubble and find something that you do want to have open. It's not hard to get permission to hold it open because most of those agents, their sellers are mad at them anyway because they haven't been doing opens. You go and volunteer, tell them that you would like to do that. They will be thrilled because now their seller won't be hating them anymore, okay? So use your head. Again, choose the right house to hold open. The best homes are either first-time buyer neighborhoods. So especially if you need money now, whether for whatever reason, maybe you're just having a dry spell, you had some deals fall apart, or maybe you just are brand new. For whatever reason, if you need money now, you should keep it to first-time buyer neighborhoods. Why? Because they don't have a house to sell before they can close. You hold an open house this weekend. You get a buyer, you show them this week. By next weekend, they're in contract. You get paid in 30 to 45 days. The higher you go up, the more likely you are to have to handle their listing, which for some of you puts yourself at risk because you may or may not get the listing. Plus, if you do get the listing, you got to know how to sell it and sell it quickly. Some of you have more issues with that than others. So if you need money now, keep it to first-time buyer houses or condos. If you're okay financially and you're looking to add this on as a strong spoke, which all of you should be doing, then you can work your way up, okay? And so let's look at the other end of the spectrum. A lot of people have said to me, well, you know, we don't really do open houses in the luxury communities. Guess what? That's exactly why you want to do it. We used to do this in a golf course community where nobody held open houses. Everybody came. It was insanity, okay? We had some of our busiest open houses ever, even with crappy, terrible weather in those luxury communities. Why? Because nobody ever did it, and everybody was curious about the houses. Did lots of business that way, and as a matter of fact, picked up one of our first million-plus listings from doing a $900,000 open house in a raging sleet storm in a neighborhood that, quote, never had open houses. And do you know what that person that was our prospect we met there said? He said, quote, you guys are the only agents around here that seem to be doing anything. Huh, interesting. And he was a millionaire, by the way. Okay, so hopefully still is. I shouldn't say was. All right, so moving on. We have open house prospecting. Point number three, door knock 1 hour before the open house on either side of the house. Invite the neighbors. Ask who they know who should live in their neighborhood. And by the way, when are they considering moving? Leave your card with them. Easy enough. Point number four, place inexpensive ads like Craigslist, for example, for your open house. So don't be a secret agent. You can put flyers in Starbucks. Work your open house. Number five, synchronize with the other listing agents in the area for a larger turnout. Oh, but I don't want them getting my buyers from my open house. Stop thinking small. That's scarcity-minded. The more open houses you have in the same neighborhood, the more buyers it generates. You can send them back and forth to each other's open houses. Everybody wins. You'll be able to close them harder, okay? All right, so next we have number six, announce it in your MLS and realtor.com. Number seven, have a super nice sign-in book and make sure they sign in. All you have to do is create a little mini sign in front of your sign-in book that says, the seller requests that all guests sign in. And then you have a sample where you've signed in showing them that it is indeed okay to sign in and what the proper way to sign in is. It's not Mickey Mouse, 123. It's Julie Harris, you know, my actual address, my actual phone number, my email address. You set a good example, okay? All right, I used to put my sister's name in there and show them what I wanted, okay? Next we have number eight, follow up the same day. Do not be like everybody else and wait until the following week or when you get desperate to call your open house leads. When you call and you follow up the same day, you are far more likely to actually get an appointment from both buyer leads and seller leads. You must call the same evening of that open house. And number nine, follow up on all leads until they either buy or sell with you or call to get a restraining order. Okay, that's kind of our running joke to remind you how seriously we want you to take your lead follow-up, okay? Now, we will do a future call called After the Open House Scripts, where we're going to go through how to follow up and how to do those scripted open house follow-ups, okay? And we will get that posted in the next week or so, so that you can get up to speed on open house scripts. Meanwhile, your homework is to set up your open house following the 9 rules, 10 directional signs, choose the right house, door knock an hour before, put it on Craigslist, Call the other agents and synchronize for a better turnout. Announce it on MLS and Realtor.com. Have a nice sign-in book. Follow up the same day and follow up on all leads until they either buy or sell with you, tell you they're going to do it with somebody else, or take out a restraining order. Okay? If you have any questions about why to love open houses, how to work open houses, how to monetize them, all you have to do is email me direct, coachjulieharris@gmail.com. Not doing this assignment is like saying you don't care about 60 grand. And that's minimum. A lot of you guys, your average commission is like 5 to 7 grand. So you can look at it two ways. Do the same two deals as a result of your open houses every month and double your income. Or, I mean, double your, you see what I'm saying, versus if you only had a $2,500 commission average. Or you can say, you know what? I'm doing great. I want to go down to the big, meaty, juicy stuff like expireds and FSBOs and for rent by owners and NODs and everything else. Well, we're going to get there. But there isn't a single agent on this call who shouldn't be monetizing one of the most simple lead generators ever, which is open houses. If you have a team, especially if you have a lot of listing inventory, if you are legitimately at that level and you're not going to do the opens, you just know you're not going to do it, if I had buyer agents, when we had buyer agents, they all had to do a minimum of 2 open houses every month, I believe it was, or they couldn't work for us, especially when we had over 30 listings. It makes the sellers happy, for one thing. It increases the likelihood of you getting both sides of the transaction and all of the other reasons that we talked about on this call. So there's really no excuse from anybody at any level. I mean, I can't – it's crazy. You know, in the beginning we did it because that's all we knew what to do. Then we figured out how to do it at a really high level, and we always kept doing it, partially because the seller expected it, but mainly because we got some really incredible, fantastic leads that way, stuff that you'd never think would come from a simple open house, okay? So, you know, you can frustrate yourself and try and do the harder and more complicated stuff before you're good at open houses. I don't know why you would do that. Be good at this. Build up your income, and then guess what? As you get better at all the other stuff, you'll have more marketing money to show that you know what you're doing and push all of those other things. You know, it's better to have – maybe this is where your entire marketing budget comes from, is your open house commissions. There's lots of different ways. This is kind of like how we think about BPOs, right? A lot of people bash BPOs. Why? Well, they're only $50 a piece. Well, that's the problem. Your thinking is flawed. Yes, they're $50 a piece. Think of them in batches. Think of them as a way to pay for your basic monthly overhead. Many of you survived the recession because you became really fantastic BPO agents, and you continue to be great agents, especially pricing, because you never gave that BPO business back because you like it so much. My happiest agents throughout the entire recession were always my BPO agents because they had checks in the mailbox every single day. That's a good feeling. Okay, so are we going to do more advanced stuff? Absolutely, but not till you guys get the basic stuff absolutely memorized, internalized, and monetized. We're building spokes here. This is one of the easiest ones to do. So take it seriously. Decide how you're going to implement it. We'll be adding some scripts on here to make it easier for you, and then I look forward to all of your great success stories. Please email me direct if you have any questions. If you want to share an open house success or any of your other successes, that would be great. As well as your challenges and struggles, we love to hear from you. Our students who talk to us all the time move forward faster. CoachJulieHarris@gmail.com, CoachTimHarris@gmail.com, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.